Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Apprentice Dan,
Ryan Pills,
and Jonah Duke.
In the house! Oh my goodness, I think it's almost Thanksgiving. I have no idea how it got to be November.
Turkey time.
Let alone the third week, but I hope you listen to this episode and enjoy it as you sit. You're probably not driving to Grandma's house.
Turkey time.
Right. Enjoy the turkey.
Mashed potatoes.
Sit on your couch, watch the digital Macy's Day. Has that been canceled?
Is it digital?
I have no idea.
I was like, that's going to...
Digital
wow,
Macy's
SpongeBob
Day
is going to look
wow.
real this year.
Virtual.
Have you guys heard the new Gobble Gobble song by Matthew West?
Are you going to sing it for us? Is that...
Oh, no. No, you need to go look that up. It's a great, like...
Go experience that for yourself.
What Thanksgiving songs are out there?
Like, this is a good point.
Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey. Have you guys not heard that
I
one?
I have not heard that one.
Are you kidding
me? Does that end with VeggieTales?
No.
No, that's not that.
No, I'll check out Gobble Gobble. It's pretty catchy.
Okay.
Like, it's a modern sounding, I don't know, it's like, gobble, gobble, one, gobble, gobble, two.
Is it for kids?
No. It's an adult dressed up in, like, a turkey costume, and it's pretty funny.
Are you sure that sounded like it was for kids?
I know. You have to hear the whole thing. I don't trust myself to sing the whole thing for you.
I was impressed that you tried those first couple lines.
That's as good as it gets.
Check out Gobble Gobble. I've often thought of that. There's not very many Thanksgiving movies either. Like, plenty of Christmas movies. Maybe the Hallmark Channel is killing it, and I just don't know about it, but I feel like there needs to be more Thanksgiving-themed movies.
I know this isn't Thanksgiving, but my wife is usually like, no Christmas until after Thanksgiving. That's just, I know a lot of people are that way.
That is Thanksgiving.
She's already gone through 4 Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's 2020. You got to get in the spirit early this year, or else you're not getting the spirit.
She's all about the Hallmark movies. Such a blessing.
Well, in addition to Hallmark movies, we're also going to talk about board games. And then I have to admit, I'm pretty excited. Hang around till after the show. I don't know if you've been aware of that. Hopefully you caught on. And we're talking about The Mandalorian. At the end, total spoilers. Hang around till after the credits. But
I just thought of something.
Okay.
On the topic of Christmas and Hallmark movies and board games.
Okay.
So my favorite Christmas song of all time is Christmas Shoes, which is a great song for all those who are at home. And there's a Hallmark movie called Christmas Shoes. We need to make a Christmas Shoes board game. You guys are welcome.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
Chris, I don't know how you would play it, but you got shoes and you're trying to get Christmas shoes for your mom. Whoa,
with
this
no
is going to
money.
Be a great idea.
Yeah, no resources.
You barely have any money. And in the game, you have like $2 or something.
Definite resource management.
Get some shoes. Whoa, this is a great idea I just came up with. Thank you.
And it's probably not like, who owns that? Because you could totally steal that property and make your game.
Well, if we can't get Christmas shoes, we'll just call it holiday shoes. It'll be fine.
Less people will be off. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Holiday Shoes, the board game. Mm-hmm. Coming to your store next summer. Christmas in July.
If you do that, then manufacturing, it'll be ready at Christmas.
All right, let's get a Kickstarter up next week. All right, so have you guys actually played any board games this week? Anybody doing any of that?
Yeah. Surprisingly, we were talking about this coming Thanksgiving and about how we like to get Firefly out.
Oh.
And we were taking...
Are you jumping ahead of the tradition?
Yeah, a little bit. It was a
this
pre-game.
Is 2020. Ryan's playing Firefly.
We were getting together to take Christmas photos for like Christmas cards or whatever. And while we were with, you know, Valor and Brian, he was like, I'm free. We should just go back to your house and play Firefly. So we did.
Wait. Brian?
He's initiating?
Yeah. Brian initiated
a five-hour board game?
Yeah.
Way to go, Brian.
It was pretty awesome.
I knew we'd pull him to the light side.
So our objective was just, I think it was the persons of business, respectable persons of business or something like that. So it's just like whoever can make the most money the fastest, then you have to lose money for any outstanding jobs you still have. And just whoever has the most at the end wins. I just stumbled into success. There was like a couple times where
it sounds like a firefighter thing to do.
I was trying to deliver contraband. I went to the wrong destination and got hit by the cruiser. So I just lost all my contraband, had to completely restart the mission, go halfway across the verse. And, but because of how things fell, I had just the right amount of people with just the right talents to take like two Nizca jobs on. So those are like high risk, high reward. Mm-hmm. And I shot ahead. I ended up, the goal was 12,000. I ended with 15,900. I think the next person had like 8,000. So I felt really good about it. But it was total fluke, just right place, right time.
Base game or all expansions?
Not all of the expansions. We don't play with pirates and bounty hunters unless we feel like being really competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have some of the mini expansions, but also Kalidasa and the Blue Sun Rim expansion sets.
And how long was your gameplay?
I think it was like 3 hours.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. We also got some other games to the table. We played Guilds last night. This is by an Italian company that I can never pronounce, but it looks like Noci.
Like the and, potato noodle?
And then there's another foreign company. It's like Stratolibre mm-hmm. or something. I don't know if I pronounced
it. Sounded good. I bought it.
But Guilds is pretty cool. It really needs more than two players, but you can play it with two, which is what Katie and I did. In Guilds, you have a guild hall that you're trying to build up, and you're also trying to recruit members to your guild. So every week or round, new rooms come out. The architects of the town come out, and they're like, I can build these rooms for you. And new potential members for your guild come out. So you gain
Are these
income.
Cards, minis?
Yeah,
what are we playing with?
There's cards and then tiles. So it's kind of like a very tame castles of Mad King Ludwig
okay.
with the tiles. But so you get income in silver, and then you have the character cards that are being auctioned off. And when you are in the auction, if you're going to raise or make an offer, you have to place it on two different characters, which makes it really hard because you might want to go all in on one person, but some of yours has to go towards another one.
So you got to have plenty of money? Or
you have
gotta
to have lots of silver in order to spread around. And Katie got additional income from characters early on, so she always had just the edge beyond me. So she won. But it's pretty cool. There's like six or seven factions of people that you're trying to get in your guild. There's like wizards, noblemen, warriors, some animals and dragons, some like assassin-type characters and craftsmen. And they each have different abilities. And some of those interact with the scoring from the room tiles. Whatever you don't spend on your characters, you can then turn into gold, which you can spend on rooms. And then at the end of the week, any gold you have left over, you keep, but any silver that you earned is lost. So every turn, you're trying to guess, like, should I be investing in my future, or should I be blowing it all right now on characters? You know, what's the best combination of actions I can do? And there's also goals that the king gives you. One of ours was fewest characters, most noblemen, most different factions, and the last one was most income in silver. And Katie just swept the board with all of those. I focused on most noblemen and thought maybe I would happen to get one of the other ones. Like, I really thought I'd get most factions, but she assassinated one of my dual factions at the end. Just, it was
crushing.
It was brutal. Yeah. Tough. So I had like 18 points. I think she had like 40-something. So
the double intense. Score.
But yeah, it was a fun game. Down. Look forward to playing it again with some more people.
That sounds pretty neat. We had the opportunity to play a game a couple times, Sarah and I, and Jonah got to play it with us last night called Cubitos.
I like it.
Cubitos. No, I don't actually know how to pronounce it.
No, got to be
Cubatas.
No, it's got to be Cubitos.
It's Cubitos from AEG.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting...
There's little cubes, Will.
Yeah.
Why would it be something else?
Yeah, that's...
Cubitos.
Yeah, Cubitos. It is a deck-building game, but instead of cards, you use dice. And it's got a very interesting mechanic of you can bust on your rolls. Most of the faces of all the dice only... are blanks. Most of them are blank. So when you roll, you have this huge handful of dice, which is super fun to roll lots of little tiny dice. And any that you end up getting a face on will go to your active. And if you have at least three active when you're doing your rolls, you just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. But if you have three active and then everything else is blank when you do that next roll, you'll bust and... There are some penalties for having to do that. But you can buy more dice to add to your pool, but it is a racing game. So you're ultimately just trying to get your character around the map to the finish line first. But you're so distracted the whole time trying to buy all these cool dice sets.
So I know Quarriors by WizKids is another dice building game. How would you say that compares?
Very different. Because, like AEG's other game, Tiny Towns, where you have different cards that come up each round and determine what your actual actions are in the game, same thing. So in this game, there's always going to be purple dice that you can play, but there's six different cards for what the purple dice could do during the game. So for each one of these, each set of dice is going to work together very differently. It might be, if you roll the purple face... But you also rolled the white and the red face. Now your guy can move seven spaces instead of two. And so you're trying to build that. It's not a bag, but you're trying to build your hand of dice to optimize each of the dice working together with each other, which is interesting in and of itself, let alone on the board. You're trying to roll either coins or steps, feet, basically. So you're trying to kind of determine between, should I be trying to roll a bunch of number coins to buy more expensive dice, or should I just be running as fast as I can to get ahead of everybody else? And there's a bunch of spaces on the board that might give you bonuses, or might you have to navigate around water or whatever. A lot of really fun stuff going on. And one of the other best parts is that it's real time, basically. So you're all rolling your dice at the same time. There's almost no downtime in the game.
Well, it's turn-based.
It is turn-based.
Real turn-based.
Simultaneous action. There you go.
Yeah.
So you're all racing. You're all rolling at the same time. You're not necessarily interacting with each other because you can share spaces and stuff, but you're definitely keeping track of, oh, yeah, I'm four sections ahead of Jonah. Oh, shoot, what happened? How is Jonah ahead of me?
Yep. For all those at home who are wondering, I got a W last night. That's a win. I don't know how it happened.
Actually, but, you got a tie, but won the tiebreaker.
I did, that is true. I'll give you credit for that. We did tie, but I won the tiebreaker. I had very good rolls at the end because you can roll and basically until you bust. And so when you get down to like 5, 4, 3 dice left, it's like the decision time. Right. Do I roll them or not roll them? And again, like Sarah said, like most of the faces on these dice are blank. So it's real. I mean, it's risky. And I was just rolling like... threes and four basic die left, and I was rolling them, and like two of them would be symbols. It was good.
Yeah, there is some luck, but and you can't even necessarily mitigate it. But at the beginning of the game, I had great rolls, so I jumped way ahead. Yeah, I got this in the bag.
In the back at the beginning, yeah.
There are some benefits if you end up if you bust or whatever. There are ways to gain additional dice and things. If you're super far behind everybody else, you get to roll additional dice as well. And so it's definitely anybody's game when you're playing it.
Yep.
To answer Ryan's question about how is it like Quarriors. One thing I really disliked and I had a hard time with Quarriors was that the symbols on the dice were hard to decipher. Like they had on the each face of the die, it had little numbers meaning different things.
Yep.
And this just had, it was either blank or it had the specific symbol for that die. And so
and then the card explaining what the symbol is.
Yeah, you did have to be able to know what the die did with each symbol because they all meant something different. But all the cards are out on the board, so you can see everything. But.
Yeah. So would you say that this is easier or harder to pronounce than Courier's Cormageddon?
I would say
Cubitos.
No.
Don't ask Will. Cubitos. Just don't even ask.
Cubitos.
Cubitos.
It could be Cubitos. I'm going with Cubitos.
It's not. Okay, hear me out. I have another great idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Better than Speaking Christmas of, shoes?
It's on the same level.
Okay.
You're talking about there's not enough Thanksgiving songs, movies.
Right.
We need Thanksgiving board games.
Okay.
That's okay, so right. We got to talk to 25th Century Games.
Okay.
But instead of winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's winner, winner,
turkey dinner.
Let's do it for Thanksgiving coming up.
That should that's our next expansion card. Do you hear us there, Chad? We're going to need the turkey dinner expansion promo card. Next year.
That's awesome. So, speaking of 25th Century Games, we just got a box in the mail from them with their new game, Cloud Control.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah, tell us about that adventure.
This was, I thought I was going to be pretty good at this game. So, basically, you you draw a card particular to yourself on your turn, and it's got a couple options on there. Like, actually, not options. It's just got four things on the card that you want the other people who are playing the game to guess. But you have to use cloud shapes to make the card might say, microphone, and then you have to take different cloud shapes and put them together and make a microphone and let the other players guess it. And then if you can go faster because you're getting timed, you can get more, points, things like that.
So it's kind of like a Pictionary with cards and clouds.
Predetermined
shape.
Yeah. And predetermined shapes on the clouds and predetermined things that you're drawing. I mean, yes, but you got it. Okay, so I'm thinking this will be good. I'm normally good at these games. I can guess things. And it's like it literally says in the rule book, unlimited guesses. Just guess it out. First person to guess it, not only do you get points, but the person who made the shape gets points. So I'm thinking this is easy. This is an easy win for me to round out the night. Well, let me tell you something. This was not. So for whatever reason, it was so tough for me to guess these things correctly. Meanwhile, Will, who is sitting at the table but not playing our game.
Playing a totally different game.
Not playing our game, keeps guessing things correctly. So we're giving him the points on the other end of the table.
Passing points down to the other
end of
the table.
Right, like literally pass the points down. Will got it. And he was literally beating me all game. I think in the end, I finally passed him, but I was losing to someone not playing the game at all. It was crazy.
I wasn't playing either, but some of them looked really hard. Like I saw you doing one that was like a koozie for a drink. Those things that you slide a can into.
Yep.
What was the other one? There was some really
your wife had a dreidel. She needed to make a dreidel with cloud shapes.
Yeah.
And she did well, and we're like, oh, it's a spinning top thing. And she's like, no. And we're like,
I can't talk.
I don't know what you want me to say. Is it spinning? So yeah, it was it's fun. It's like eight and up or something. And we definitely noticed that some of the cards, predetermined guesses were like tough, but some of them were easy.
Potentially easier. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, pizza. I mean, that's easy. You can make that with cloud shapes, but some
and
of
you can,
them, like,
yeah, you can mime in the game too. So even though you can't talk, like sticking a triangle cloud in your mouth is pizza, spinning a triangle cloud on the ground. Not necessarily a dreidel.
Right. And then, like, dungeon. Dungeon was super hard. I didn't know what to do.
I didn't actually understand. So I wasn't playing the game, but I was just tuning in. Basically, I looked over, and Katie had some, like, wavy-ish clouds that she was moving around, and I was like, waves?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you get the point. Good job. What was up with the dungeon thing, though? Because was that, like, a bonus
round?
There's
two rounds, but in between the two rounds, you play a lightning round. And in the lightning round, everyone sees the word who's playing the game, and then you all make your best attempt with the clouds to make that word. Then you vote on whose is best. So the word that we all saw, which actually this is the second one we chose, because we saw the first one, and we were like, impossible to make. Pick a new one. And we picked dungeon, and it was very hard. My dungeon looked like a guillotine, but I was like, if we're getting guillotine out of the dungeon, we're close enough. Right. Let's just go ahead and give me some points, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that's where I actually started really playing, because you voted on everybody else's as the winner. There's only three players. They each voted on each other, so it was a tie. They're like, Will, you have a point. Break the tie.
Yeah,
that was fun. Cloud Control was a lot of fun. I got the opportunity this weekend to attend a local board game convention, a really small one called Mace. It's been going on in Charlotte, North Carolina for a number of years, and I've been in previous years. Got to hang out this week and do a little bit of GMing, and so I got to teach cartographers, which was fun to teach. I got to learn Tricky Tides, which I've never played before. I think maybe Kevin or Melissa or somebody did a review. I've definitely seen the game before, but
yeah, it was at Tantrum Con.
Oh, check that out. It was a pickup and delivery. I feel like I was.
Okay.
I played every game.
Were you even there?
That was at Tantrum Con.
Even at Tantrum Con.
It was a neat little pickup and delivery. Xander actually went with me, and he did really well in the game. You've got these like north, south, east, west directions that you're trying to use on each card, and there's a lot of different stuff going on, but a nice, attractive, like the aesthetic for it was very consistent and really attractive. We got to play that one. And then I feel like I played at least one more game I was going to talk about.
Guardian's Call.
Guardian's Call! Finally got that one to the table. I think almost everyone else has played that, except for me. Everybody nodded, yes, yes.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
Well, that's because we got them at Tantrum Con.
Which that's also correct.
Were you there?
Right. It's starting to get questionable. Stick around because we will definitely talk more about Tantrum Con Digital. But right now, let's give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Gilded Skull Games. Their game, Dark Venture Battle of the Ancients, is currently on Kickstarter right now with only 2 days left to the campaign. So head over and check it out. It is a tactical strategy game set in a dark fantasy future. The players control asymmetric factions, and there is cooperative mode, competitive mode, and also solo play in the game. So this is a dark fantasy battle game for 1 to 4 players. So check out Dark Venture Battle of the Ancients from Gilded Skull Games.
Looks like that one's already funded, so congratulations to them. And the most interesting thing that struck me immediately, just glancing at it, is the art style. It's got this crazy, like, 80s rock glowing neon style. I don't know. Cool stuff. Check that one out. Let's check out a couple of other Kickstarters in our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode will be talking about two games coming to Kickstarter the week of November 23rd, 2020. Start us off, Dan.
All right. Coming on November 24th, we have Saloon Showdown by Draco Maca, designer Dario Dordoni, and Francesco Stefanacci. I think it sounded confident enough in those, so I'm probably right.
Your Italian sounded great, Dan.
Hey, thanks. All right, so this is a 2 to 7 player party type game where up to 7 gunslingers are fighting in epic duels, trules, and Mexican standoffs. It is not cash and guns, but I would probably compare it in that style, in that you have physical guns on the table, you're playing cards, you're trying to cash out money to get money from rewards, but then there's a bluffing element because you can grab a gun and point it at somebody and say, do you feel lucky? Punk. And you don't say punk, at least not according to the rules.
What?
But you say, do you feel lucky? You can add that in if you want, Ryan. And then if the other person says you're bluffing, you basically compare cards, and whoever has the highest number of bullets ends up getting $20. But if you think you don't want to take a chance on losing that, you respond, do you? And then you quickly exchange hands without looking at the cards. And then at one time you're looking at the cards, trying to figure out what, like, how many times a certain word is said on the 3 cards. There's like a boom, blam, bang. What color is the card? And then what body part are you shooting at? And whoever thinks, like, as soon as you think you know it, you grab the right color gun, and you say, you know, Will, I'm shooting you in the arm with the yellow gun, and it, with a bang. And if you're right, then you shoot the other person and you win the duel. There's a way to do a 3-way duel where if you have a certain card, you basically quickly grab 2 guns and you start pointing them at 2 people. There's a Mexican standoff where you quickly grab it and, you know, you're all pointing guns at each other. And just kind of a fun 15, 30-minute type party game with some bluffing. And
are they foam, paper? What kind of cool guns are we talking about?
I'm not sure about that. They look like they are foam, but I'm not 100% sure. There's a bottle involved. You can smash somebody over the head with, like, a glass beer bottle from a saloon. Nice. Just stuff like that. It's meant to be a lot of fun with some bluffing involved.
Like, physically smash them over the head? Or, like, there's, like, I mean, a token that says...
No, it's
okay, I'm in.
It's a... Yeah, maybe not a full-size bottle, but it's...
Maybe it's, like, one of the movie props that it looks
it
like
re-breaks?
Glass,
yeah,
the glass yeah, bottles.
And then re-breaks. When I saw that for the first time, I really wanted one. So hopefully this game comes with one, because if that's
they should
case,
at least sell like a six-pack of them with it as yeah. a promo.
They might be cardboard. It's hard to tell. But, I mean, they look pretty sweet. They look like old Western revolvers, the old really flimsy glass bottles you see in the movies where they just smash them all over the place. So it looks like a fun party game. Again, that's Saloon Showdown. Coming on November 24th. Jonah, what are you looking at?
Yeah, coming to Kickstarter on November 23rd is the game Carnegie by Quind Games. This is for 1 to 4 players. It plays about 90 minutes, and it says the weight is going to be a 4 out of 5, like the complexity of the game. So it is probably not for a first timer, I would say.
Polar opposite of Saloon Showdown.
Right.
Right.
This is if you want to spend, well, again, it only says 90 minutes, but I mean, if you want to spend some strategy, spend some mind power, this might be a game for you. So in this game, Carnegie, it's inspired, of course, by the life and times of Andrew Carnegie. What you are doing is you're going to recruit and manage employees and try to expand business and then invest in real estate and produce and sell goods and create transport chains across the United States. And you're basically working to become an illustrious benefactor who contributes to the greatness of his country through deeds and generosity. It says the game takes place over 20 rounds. Players will have one turn per round, and on each turn they can choose one of the four actions, and the other players basically follow after that. At the end of all the rounds, it's most victory points win. So it says it's area movement, it's action retrieval, it's a lot of in-game bonuses. Again, you can follow other people's actions as a component. Some of the photos of the game, it honestly looks like my type of game. Like, as long as it, I will tell you this, as long as it's close-ish to 90 minutes, it seems like my type of game. I don't really want to play a game for 3 hours like Ryan was talking about a little earlier. I'll play it once. I'll play it once with you, Ryan. But 3 hours seems like a lot. But this one says 90 minutes. It's pretty strategy heavy. And so Carnegie's coming to Kickstarter on November 23rd.
I mostly just want to talk about Ryan's facial reaction.
It's like, 3 hours is nothing.
3 hours is nothing? Oh, no. You got
to
warn me
say,
if I play I games with you and you're thinking 3 hours is nothing when you pull the game out. Warn
Let's
me.
Just play this one real quick, Jonah. It only takes 3 hours.
For Firefly, I mean, it's
that
3 hours
was quick.
Of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
I do have to say, Jonah does not understand the Meadows family Thanksgiving tradition.
I think you just play the longest game. I've played games for hours.
Eat our normal Thanksgiving dinner as a family.
Okay.
And put everything away. And then we'll get out, usually Caverna.
Oh, man.
Because it's long.
That's the family tradition.
Caverna's long.
Right. And it's like a half hour per player.
And we will play through most of the game. And we'll take a break for pie. And then
pie break,
and then come back, and there may be a second pie break. Whew. If we're playing with 7 players. But
7 players for Caverna is going to be a long game.
Yeah,
yeah, we've definitely done.
But it's light
a good
enough.
4.5, 5 hours.
It's light enough
on the
rules. Yeah. That
I've never played it with 7. I mean, I played it with maybe 4. So it's taken
with pie breaks. It's a long game.
Yeah, 2.5, 3.
Yeah, I agree. A game like Firefly or certain other games are a lot of fun if. Like, the strategy's there, people are moving, turns are happening. I'm all about a good 3-hour game. I've definitely played some games that should not have taken as long as they took. I played a game of Land, Air, and Sea once that literally took us like 5 hours. Mm-mm. Should have taken 2 max.
Yeah. And our Firefly game actually was one of the fastest-paced Firefly games I've ever played. The only reason it took as long as it did is that we all had kids present that were fighting and...
I should have clarified. If it is moving, quickly, turns are moving quickly, you're involved, I can play.
Yeah. I mean, I know you can because your guys' Thanksgiving tradition is pretty similar too, right? Don't you guys just play games all day?
We're going all day, but it's not one
game. Different games.
All day. Yeah, we're going all day though.
Has your family played Don't Mess with Cthulhu yet? Has this been introduced?
No, not their
game?
But it's too light.
Too
light for the crowd to bring to Thanksgiving.
Have they played Caverna?
No, they
the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. We got to be in the medium. Medium.
Oh, have you played medium?
Yes, I have.
Could you beat them in Wingspan? My mother asked for Wingspan this holiday season.
There we go.
Asked. Make sure you bring it. So we'll be getting lots of Wingspan and easily 10 games of Wingspan.
Wow.
10 games of Wingspan.
Telling you, we're going to play. It's just not one game.
Right. All right. I'm on board with that. I like the swish ups and the changes between. So one of the changes coming this year, you like the transition, is TantrumCon Digital. I don't know how much we've actually talked about this on the podcast because I haven't been here the last week or two, but plans are coming together, and I got to say, I'm pretty excited. The TantrumCon event that we normally have in February in Spartanburg, South Carolina, is going digital this year. We've talked with a number of sponsors who are excited to be showing off some brand new games, which is awesome. We've also put together a lot of plans already, mentally in my mind mostly. For ways that we're going to make this a very interactive con. So instead of come and watch us play Tabletop Simulator for 8 hours, we're very much going to make this a you play along from home. You are part of the audience that while we're playing, you enter the contests, you win the things. So you can go check out tantrumcon.com right now if you want to. It's a little bare bones at the moment because I haven't had a moment to actually update it, but more information will be coming very soon, and I'm very excited about how things are lining up. If you want to stay in the loop on those things, a great way to do that is actually going to be through our e-newsletter, which I don't know how much we've talked about that on the podcast either. A little bit, I think.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Dan and Larry have been working on that, Sidekick Larry, and we had a blast with our first one. We gave away some cool prizes. We updated you guys on some news and did some behind-the-scenes stuff. We're going to be doing more of that as we move into the future, and you can become a part of that newsletter by a couple different ways. The best way, this is what you got to just do, go to tantrumhouse.com. In the right-ish side, we've got a button that says enter our current contest. By entering the contest, you're also secretly subscribing to our newsletter. You have to opt in to receive news. So you might as well do it that way because you have an opportunity to win a prize and to actually get the newsletter. And once you're subscribed to that, I think right now it's going to be like every 3 weeks or every month that we're putting out these newsletters, but we're going to be doing giveaways every time. We're going to be sharing news about TantrumCon, and we're going to be just having a lot of fun. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you can go do it right now.
It was one of the most entertaining newsletters I've read. I do have to say that. Wow. I usually like scroll through.
I did read it.
Look at some pictures. Good. I read all the words.
I did not know what game it was. The pieces. I did not know.
Does anyone at the table know what game the pieces?
I did not. It seemed like I should
I did
know.
When I saw it, but I don't remember
it
now.
It seemed like I should know. With the four pieces, it was like, oh, those are like prominent pieces. I should
the
know that.
The blurry box in the background might give it away too.
Oh, I should have looked. I was looking at the pieces.
Are you pulling it up?
Or was that a
different was like,
page?
Were they white-ish wooden pieces?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did see it.
You did. Yeah.
What game was it?
So I guess it's been out long enough, so we can...
Sorry. Spoilers. Reveal. Sorry.
But it was Scythe.
Oh, I should have known that. I played that a lot.
Should have known that.
Speaking of long games, I played that one for way longer than it needed to be.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Way longer.
So if you are listening and you have some ideas for games that you enjoy playing digitally, or if you think, man, I saw this at another event that had nothing to do with board games, but it was super awesome, we'd love to hear your ideas because we are trying to make this something that our audience is very involved in from the start. We really want to make this a con that people are excited to be a part of and not just to watch from a distance. So if you have any ideas, I'm all ears. Send me a note at will@meta. Oh, no, I almost gave you my personal email address. will@tantrumhouse.com. I actually already did get a couple of emails, which I super appreciated. People were offering feedback and ideas, and I love it. So let's have a conversation and make this something that's really great. I think we're about ready to wrap up this episode, unless Sarah's chiming in with one more thing.
I am.
Okay, go.
So we still have Game Found open. If you missed our Kickstarter way earlier this year, like months ago, 2020 is so weird, so... If you missed it, you can still go to GameFound and make a late pledge. We will probably be closing the late pledges towards the end of the year, beginning of next year. So if you are interested in some of those promos, we just got the brand new Parks promo in the mail this weekend. So those will be starting to ship to backers soon. We also just got the Sagrada promo. So all of those things are available in GameFound. And as soon as we have everything for your order, we'll be shipping it to you.
We also got the new winner turkey dinner. Oh, sorry. I was jumping ahead of you.
We need to make that happen.
Expansion.
We also have some great holiday gift giving things on our Etsy shop and at our tantrumhouse.com store. There's t-shirts, there are decals, and Christmas cards if you are wanting to send holiday cheer to your friends and family.
Which you obviously do. In fact, while we're talking about that topic, we have an idea that we're getting ready to pitch you. If you stay tuned to the next episode, we'll give you even more details. But I think we're going to try to do a Tantrum House Christmas card exchange this year. So if you're interested in sharing some Christmas joy with some other folks, then jump onto that. We'll have some information. It'll probably be sign up at this email address, and you'll receive the addresses of some other gamers out there that you can exchange Christmas cards with this year and fully celebrate the wonderful season ahead. I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Stay tuned after the outro tunes if you want to hear our takes on The Mandalorian Episode 3. Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
That was pretty good, right?
That was great, Will.
Welcome to the after show, where we talk about The Mandalorian based on our experiences and Ryan's actual knowledge of the subject matter. Where should we begin? I'll start by saying, first episode I've thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, this
also has one of your favorite actors.
That probably helped a lot.
Yeah. Or all of it.
Yeah, I had a minor complaint about the pacing, but the content was great. This was my favorite episode
of
season
two. Was
it
too slow or too fast?
I felt like it wasn't quite right. Like the notes, maybe too fast. I don't know. It just felt, yeah.
I'll tell you one scene that I super didn't enjoy was Mando comes back. He's like got his mission that he's going to head off on. I'm thinking he doesn't have the baby carrier anymore. Is he going to strap the child to his chest? What's going to happen?
It's going to be one of those baby carriers.
Oh, he's going to drop it off to be babysat. The scene literally is, he walks in, something came up, pass off baby, yeah. Leave. What?
I was like, as those frog parents, I'd be like, I'm sorry. Right. You're
going to
have to
We haven't seen each other in, yeah, our babies are about to hatch. You get out of here. The scene would have been way better if he was just rocket boosting off the landing and the baby was there in the arms of frog mom. And you just understand that he had an intelligent conversation. He told them what to do, worst case. No, he just drops it and runs.
But I think that's all about Yoda eating eggs.
Yeah.
The that's ability to throw that in there.
I really thought he was going to down that frog baby.
Yeah. Right?
I was like, no, I was waiting. Not going to do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
The squirmy ones are better.
Which we know he enjoys. He enjoys the squirmy ones. So let's recap the entire scene. So he's on the pirate ship. I don't know what kind of ship it is.
Some sort of trawler.
All of a sudden, a couple Mandalorians show up, recognize the blue helmet. Is this it? Is this the moment I've been waiting for? Lands. One line. Yep. Recognize the voice. Immediate sadness. If she's a Mandalorian, she's not going to take her helmet off. I'm never going to get to see Starbuck in the show. Takes her helmet off next scene. Awesome! Everything
Will's
that I
dreams
needed
of seeing
to make
Katie
me happy.
Sackhoff on the show.
Yet another great sci-fi show. It's become a great sci-fi show because she was on it.
I do agree. That was the best episode of this season.
Now, are you also a Katie Sackhoff fan, or is it my fanboying that made me enjoy it,
totally,
or was it a good
episode?
Totally
your fanboying, because okay. I did not know who Katie Sackhoff was.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's a good episode, y'all.
That's Katie Sackhoff. Okay.
I think we've watched everything she's been.
Yeah. I didn't even know she
even
voiced
the dumb shows.
Bo-Katan
in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not that far yet, but.
Oh, well, you'll recognize it now when you get there. Yeah. What cool? So I don't know. I have no idea who the other two people were. Are they also in the Clone Wars?
Idea.
No. So not canon characters that I should have been aware of.
Not that I know of.
Just they sidekicks.
But well, one's the wrestler chick. I can't think of her name now.
Wait, that was the other one? No.
Yeah.
These were new people that we've never seen before.
It's a new wrestler chick.
Oh.
Right, yeah.
We're not talking about the...
It's not the MMA fighter, Jean...
Yes.
Whatever. I don't know her name. I'm sorry.
We totally know that arena of sports for sure. What...
Okay.
But you know who I'm talking about, like
the
WWE.
Other person. I didn't know that. Now I'm learning.
She's the one in the little hood. She's observing him when they come into the town, and then she shows up on the trawler, and she takes off her helmet, so she's the other chick.
Oh, I actually didn't make that connection. So she was who was checking him out when he first landed. Makes perfect sense. It has been like 2 weeks since I've watched this, so I already forgot a lot of the episodes.
2 weeks? It's been 4 days, Will.
Yep. No, it's been
since
like,
the time this airs,
like
though.
That, it will have been 2 weeks. Okay.
Was it only 4 days ago?
Yeah.
Yep. Like Jonah was talking about earlier, my memory is slipping quick.
It is.
Give us the highlights, Ryan. What was your take? Walk us through it.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, what do you want to talk about?
So you obviously...
I liked seeing the Gazanti cruiser. I think that's the first time we've seen it live action. I liked the rendition of it and getting to see inside the ship.
I think, and I don't know this because I just know it. I know it because I saw it in a video. I think that's shows up in Tatooine in one of the movies, but it's just like flying in the sky.
Yeah.
That's Ooh. All you know.
I think you're right.
I forget which one that is.
I stand corrected.
I like that his ship.
I defer to you, sir.
Way to go. Give you the floor.
But it was really cool, though.
I liked that his ship, once repaired, still looked like garbage. I was appreciative of that.
It was a little bit of a jab, because in the legends or whatever of Star Wars, the Mon Calamari are like this amazing shipwright race. So he has this Mon Calamari dock worker fix his ship, and then he gets on. He's like, oh, Mon Calamari, you know.
Ah, like, see? I needed right there to explain it.
Like sort of... kept together with like fishing nets,
right?
And stuff.
You're flying
not
to space.
Professionally done.
That was funny. The only thing I was I was disappointed in the episode was they're pinned down in the corridor. 20 stormtroopers shooting at them. They're like, "Oh no, how are we ever going to get to the bridge?" Fortunately, our armor makes us totally invulnerable.
Yeah, it wasn't clear if he's the only one that has Beskar or if they all do. I don't know. It did bother me that he's shown some like tactical awareness of fights
mm-hmm.
up to this point, but then in the hall, they were all in each other's way,
right?
Like shooting stuff. They should have been like leapfrogging, doing some sort of squad tactics.
Even cooler.
But instead, they're just like walking, shooting. Yeah,
and they obviously weren't real Mandalorians. I think that's the real lesson to be learned.
What did, how did everyone feel?
Unless you're part
feel...
of the cult, you don't know how to do tactical strategy.
That's
yeah,
right.
How did everybody feel about the differences in opinion about the Mandalorians and their culture?
I thought it was interesting to bring that in. I don't know the background and the story of them, but I thought that was interesting.
I appreciated them explaining why there's a difference between... this character and all of the Mandalorians we've seen up to this point.
Right? Traitor, what is wrong with her? I did love it. I loved the reference to the Darksaber again, so I'm hoping that comes back and is amazing. I went back and rewatched the Clone Wars episode where they fight with the Darksaber, and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely need to see a sweet sword fight this season. Do we think that's coming?
I do.
Well, who... I mean, you'd have to have a Jedi to fight the Darksaber, so... We're, I guess, expecting Ahsoka Tano.
They referenced her, so she's got to be coming, right? Yeah. How nervous are you about that? I will admit, whatever her species is in the movies, their little...
Togruta or something.
Their fake dangly headgear always bothers me. Animated series, perfect. Looks great every time. I don't know what that's going to look like in real life. Yeah. They got to do better than Star Wars Episode 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, is she the same as... What was the episode where they're doing the prison breakout? Weren't there
a couple?
Was another character.
I'm going to be disappointed.
And it looks so bad. Too. Yeah.
The Twilight?
No, it was last season.
Were they?
There was the same race where they have the two long tentacle head dudes.
Are you talking about the prison ship?
Yeah, I think it was a prison
That's a different race. Oh, okay. But similar. What? They also have head tendrils or whatever.
Okay.
Which look like foamy, bouncy things.
I did notice a few times that I felt like this isn't an alien. This is a guy in a mask.
Yep.
So, but
this is definitely a CGI ant. Was my big issue last episode.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, we look forward to seeing Ahsoka.
It was great.
What do you know about the voice casting? Is she in this season?
The voice of Ahsoka?
Yeah.
I think the rumors I've heard is that it's Rosario Dawson doing the live action, and it was Ashley Eckelstein or something is the voice, and I don't believe she's in this at all from like interviews and stuff.
So we're not seeing Ahsoka this season.
Of her Ashley. But I think Rosario is playing her.
Ahsoka, but not the same voice.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
Because they've had to find somebody who looked like the animated character.
It hasn't been given away yet. I saw an interview with Katie after this episode, and she's like, I don't know if Ahsoka's in it, because I haven't met Rosario Dawson. If she's the one playing it, I haven't seen her. So I don't know if she was just playing it on the down low or what.
Right.
Yeah. Or like, yeah.
Or more likely,
she's only in one episode
this whole season.
I need her to be in at least every episode. And it needs to have like 10 times the budget.
I feel like they're doing good on the budget, unless they're just not affording actors. I mean, I'm pretty good with most of the special effects. Nobody's figured out how to do head tendrils well.
I mean, it's been great. I just want it to be like mind-blowing every episode.
Right. I felt like this one actually did a good job. The firefight scene between the troopers and them on the ship was like pretty visually satisfying. All the sparks and lasers and whatever. Giant spaceship heading just straight down towards the planet. His ship burning up. Was that this episode or last episode?
Yeah, no. I was pretty satisfied
with the visual effect.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was surprised at the tactics where they were just like, well, you know what to do. Okay,
shoot everybody,
commit suicide.
Right.
Whoa.
That's what we do, everyone.
But, I mean, at this point, any Imperial remnant that's remaining, they're the diehard fanatics. So.
Yeah.
But don't they need them because they're running out of people?
Well, you either get... You either protect your resources or you deny them to the enemies. It's the scorched earth.
This is the strategy.
Yep.
Strategy. Yeah.
It still gets me with pretty much any movie like this. You know, he throws those grenades and the stormtroopers look down like, huh, what's that? And I don't know. I don't want to have to face that, obviously, in real life.
But you feel like you'd be like, kick it!
Yeah, I mean, you're shooting. He is throwing something at you. It's probably not a good thing.
Right.
So maybe I shouldn't just stare at it. But
and why don't they have grenades? Isn't it about time stormtroopers picked up some grenades?
I don't know.
Is it about time that one stormtrooper can actually hit something? Like
seven of them hit him. His armor is just so good.
And these stormtroopers, they still had like good-looking armor, not like in season one where it was all beat up. They'd clearly seen things.
Battle.
Yeah. These people were
these
all
people,
like,
yeah, they're
I've never
fresh
seen
out of the academy.
Just walking around this ship for however long, guarding nothing.
This episode did have what was one of the most beautiful shots to me, and it was that shot where visually just it looked really good where they are jetpacking off the ship and then it blows up and
it's that was pretty cool
sunset. Like it just looks really pretty. I thought that was. Just one of those scenes where you're like, ooh, that's nice.
I'd put that poster on my wall.
Yeah.
Well, Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 3 recap. Done. Join us next week.